one space nowadays, and so we need to do it over a month to capture everybody that's involved in our church. And so greater will be our theme that we'll be talking about over this next month. Vision Sunday for me and for our team, it's one of the pivotal moments for our church throughout the year in terms of weekends, because we get to share this information with you, information that we navigate on a regular basis as a team as we sit around the various leadership tables that we sit around. And today is an opportunity to, number one, affirm who we are, to remind ourselves of why we are here, and to outline what we do. I want you all to understand those three things very clearly. Who we are, to affirm that, and to remind ourselves of why we are here, and also what we do. This year, we started the year with two key thoughts, two key words as a leadership team, and those thoughts were refresh and greater. And we just felt like January particularly, after a very busy and active year last year in terms of church world, but also community life and just life in general, we felt like we just needed to stop and just refresh. Just take some moments to really refresh ourselves. So we did that through prayer and fasting. We did that through some lean-in moments as a church, and really feeling the sense and the need to just refresh everything that we do in church life. Just to freshen it up. Like you do at home. Every now and then you swoosh a certain room. You change the furniture around a little bit. You throw a lick of paint on a wall to make it pop and just to change it up, because it's so boring just being the same bland base kind of presentation all the time. Who's making notes right now? Go home and renovate. Sometimes it's just what you have to do. It's the same with your fashion. Sometimes you just got to put the old clothes away and get some new rags. You just got to get some new clothes to put on just to present yourself. Sometimes you just need a new hairstyle. Sometimes you need to shave the mustache off because it's gone. That's outdated. Sometimes you just need a do-over. Look at your neighbor right now. Sometimes you do. And so we kind of felt like that in church life with some of our guiding statements, our vision statement, our mission statement, our values and things like that. And it's not that they were bad, it's just that we'd done them for a while and we kind of felt like we just needed to brighten it up. We just needed to reinvent. We needed to reshape. We needed to refresh those different statements that would be our guides for this year. We needed a new language around who we are, why we're here, and what we do. And so I want to run through some of that today for all of us if I can. So firstly, this is who we are. We are not a religious church. If you're a part of our church, whether you're someone that attends in room or online, whether this is your first time today, you've been here for 6 months, can I just say to you that we are not a religious church. We're not a religious church, which can sound wrong when you say it. What we mean by that when we say we're not a religious church is, what we mean is, rules don't drive us. Rules don't drive our church. We are driven by relationship. We are a relationship church. Relationship with God is our pursuit, and relationship with people is also our pursuit. We love God passionately. We love people passionately. People are not God. God became a person, but people are not God. People will let you down. People will make mistakes. People will fail. People will disappoint. We love them regardless. Everyone say regardless. We love them regardless. They are people. They're not God. It's not fair to expect them to be God. Nobody's God but God. Only one God. And so we let God be God and we let people be people. So we're not a religious church. We're a relationship church. It means we include, we don't exclude. We are spirit-led without being weird. Spirit-led without being weird. I have been involved in the Pentecostal church since I've been really about 8 or 9 years of age, somewhere there. I'm now just over 60 years of age, so that's a long time. About 50 years I've been a Pentecostal believer. 50 years I've believed in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Spirit, and speaking in other languages. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in His filling. I believe in His gifting. I believe in His empowerment. I believe in His comfort. I believe in His counsel. I believe in His guidance. I believe, anyone else believe? believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit. So we are Spirit-led, but we are not weird. We are not weird. As I say often, the Holy Spirit is not weird. People are. People are. Some people are weird. So we don't do weird church. We are Spirit-led without being weird. I actually believe this. The more spiritual you are, the more normal you are. The more relatable you are. People related to Jesus easily, readily. He was very approachable, very relatable in terms of people. The only people that didn't relate to him were the religious leaders. It's interesting, isn't it? The religious leaders of the day didn't relate to him because they saw him as a threat. The people loved him because he came into their homes. He ate with them. He went to their dinner parties. He associated with them. He shared good news with them. He went and helped them. He healed them. He was just good to be around. I hope you're good to be around. I hope we're good to be around because we need to be Spirit-led without being weird. This is a big one for me. We're not a program-driven church. We don't do programs for the sake of doing programs. Our programs serve what we have as a mission as a church and what we want to accomplish together. So our programs serve us. We don't serve our programs. We're driven by our vision, our mission, our values, our code. We're driven by discipleship, the urgency to push people on to get closer to God, to live the God life and to explore and express the purpose of God in their personal worlds. So we're driven by discipleship. We're driven by taking our next steps as believers. I personally believe you never stop as a believer. You're always advancing. You're always moving on. You're always moving forward in life as a believer. The moment you stop, you're in neutral, and neutral is not a place to be. So we are not a program-driven church. We are mission-minded without diluting the life-giving message of Jesus. So we have our mission, but above our mission and above everything else we do, we have the life-giving message of Jesus. We only have one message. That message never changes. That message is Jesus is the hero. Jesus is the Savior, the Messiah, the Lord, and the only one that can redeem us from our sins. And it's that commitment to Jesus that shapes everything we believe and everything that we do. This one is an expression of the previous one, which says we are committed to our message, not a method. The moment a method stops serving the message, we'll change the method, but we'll never change the message. The message we don't get to play with. The message is God's truth, not our truth. I'm sure you're not interested in my truth. You're more interested in God's truth. Is that right? We're more interested in God's truth, so that message never changes. But what has to change is our method. If our method doesn't change, we become irrelevant. We become irrelevant and disconnected from the community that God has placed us in to serve. So our method is always evolving, whereas our message is set. We don't tell it like it is. We tell it like it could be. You know, sometimes people say to me, Pastor, you're too nice. I go, really? You're too nice is what they say. You need to tell people like it is. You need to lay it on the line. Oh, we don't do that. We don't tell it like it is. We tell it like it could be. I want to speak to your dreams. I want to speak to your imagination. I want to speak to your hope. I want to speak to your desires to live the God life and to fulfill the call of God that's on you. So we tell it like it could be for you as it could be for all of us. And then finally, the kind of church that we are is we are not about perfection. We are about progress. We are about progress. We just want you to get better every year. We just want you to grow every year. Perfection, that's in God's court. That's His calling for all of us. We're concerned about progression, getting people moving on into discipleship and the next steps that they need to take. So some of the areas that we've freshened up this year, the question of why we are here, we've refreshed our mission as a church. Our previous mission statement was to strengthen engagement by investing in community, connection, and contribution. And we looked at that this year as a team and we thought, let me tell you how that happened. We had a team meeting. We had a team day. And we call it Team Grow Day. And I prepared diligently for that day. I write a little booklet. It's about 20 pages. We do four sessions. We eat lots of food. We have about 20 people here. And I share and speak to them. Pastor Mara Shell does. And we collaborate a little bit. And we shape things up. Well, we had this Grow Day early in February. I came all prepared. I'd prayed up. I'd believed. I'd written it down in stone. Came to present it to the team and felt we had to reshape some things, but not everything. Some things, not everything. We started the day and we started, I'm not sure where we started, but I just started to talk about the need to refresh. And as we went around the room, I would share, this is what our vision is going to be for the year. This is what I feel that God is speaking to us this year. And pretty soon the thought was, can we freshen that? Can we play with that? Can we reshape that? Can we speak into that? And you should have seen the team. They just got out of hand. I mean, totally out of hand in terms of volunteering, speaking up, voicing up, shaping it. And before I knew it, the whole document that I'd spent a whole week preparing was destroyed. And we'd reshaped our vision, we'd reshaped our mission, we'd reshaped our values. And so the team did it. I didn't do it. The team did it with my guidance, is how it was shaped and reshaped for this year, which I love, because I said, now you've done it, you've got to own it. Now they've done it, they've got to own it, because it's theirs. It's ours as a team that we wanted to present to our church for this year. So our refreshed mission statement is now this: we bring people together, we show people Jesus, we give people hope. That's what we do. We bring people together. We're going to work really hard at bringing people together, gathering people together in groups, in clusters, in connection, in community. We will show people Jesus. That's what we're going to do very strongly, is to show people Jesus through our message and through everything that we do. And the result will be we will give people hope. We will give people hope. In other words, we just don't talk it, we want to walk it. Not just going to talk it, we're going to walk it. We will point people towards the hope that only Jesus can bring. Now, our growth track as a church, you'll find it on our webpage, our website. If you go there, you'll see next steps and press that button and you'll see our growth track. There's four classes there that go for about 20 minutes each, 25 minutes each. You get a video and you also get a booklet you can download, which unpacks this area for church life about why we are here. The first stage or the first step is we are here to be family. You can find a place to belong. We believe in that passionately. We'd love for you to do that course if you've not done that. Secondly, to know God. We're here to build the belief factor, the faith factor in people's hearts, and to teach them about God. Thirdly, we're here to live purpose, and that's about building. We want people to understand, if this is your church, then make it your church. Be a builder. Be one that invests in your church and serve and contribute and give. Don't just be an attender or a consumer, but be a contributor, someone that brings life to the table. And then finally, join a team. Join a team and become involved in everything that we do. So you can do that in your own time. I'm not going to go over that this morning. In terms of our growth track, what we do, our previous vision statement was reach the lost, make disciples, build the church, which was great. I loved it because it was R&B. I love music, and it kind of worked for me to reach, make, and build. But we reframed it, we refreshed it, because we thought what we do really well as a church is we help people. So we're here helping people, building community, knowing God, and discovering purpose. We want to help people. We want to connect people, so we build community. We want to push people to know God better, to be fully devoted followers of Jesus, and finally to discover their life purpose connected to their God purpose. Now, those two are aligned. So this guides everything that we do. So church, we are here to help people. We are here to help people. This is a question the community asks of the church all the time. How does the church help? How does the church help? What space does the church fit in our modern day world? And many in the community think we're irrelevant. We need to show them we are here, we are helpful. We are here and we are here to help. Why are we here to help? Because help is what Jesus did. This is what Jesus did. The Bible says in Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. He was anointed for this. Notice it. Anointed for this. With the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Wherever Jesus went, he was helpful. He helped people, he healed people who were oppressed of the devil. That's what we're here for. We're here to help and heal. To help and heal. Now, I can't heal people in and of myself in terms of praying for people and healing them. God does that. But I can help heal people emotionally. I can heal people relationally. I can help heal people financially. I can help people be healed in other ways. And so everywhere I go, I should be like Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, anointed by the Holy Spirit to do good and to help heal people. When Jesus was on earth, the Bible talks about moments where, like, he fed 12,000 people. And what it showed us was he helped them before he healed them. He helped them before he spoke to them. Our problem in terms of the Western world church is we're good at speaking to. We're good at delivering a message. But that message has not been undergirded by being helpful. And often people have not wanted to hear the message because they've not felt like it would be helpful to them. We want to show them that the church is helpful and the message is super helpful to them in their situations and circumstances. So for us, we very purposely aligned our staff for this year, last year also, so that our staff would not like normal church pastors. Yes, they are pastors. Yes, they have qualifications in studying God's word in theology and biblical studies and leadership and all those things that matter. But they're also qualified in other areas of life in terms of helping people. And so our staff are put on a pathway of being here to help people during the week. Not just people that call this place home, but people beyond the borders of our church, the people of our village, the people of our community, the people of our city. We do that because we believe we're here to bless the village. We are here to bless the village. I remember the days when the church was like the centerpiece of a community, in country areas particularly. It was the centerpiece of a community. You could go to the church for help. The church was a place of refuge. You knew you'd get assistance there with food or someone to help counsel you or help you through a tough moment, through a tough time. Someone to help maybe pay some bills even, if that's what needed to happen. And I love that old school thought of what church was in a community. Where it was like a pivotal place in communities. And you see it all over Europe. As you go through Europe and you see the big monstrosities of churches that the Normans were responsible for. And they're the pride of the city now. And if you go overseas to Europe, if you do a tour, guaranteed, you'll go through about 100 churches. And by the end of it, you think, does this place have anything else other than churches? It seems like there's a church everywhere. And that's because the church was the centerpiece of the community. I say, bring it back. I say, make the church the centerpiece again. Make Jesus the center of everything that happens around the city, the community, the village. Let's get back to the roots of what we were. Like in the book of Acts, where the people gathered daily to be in the house of God, where they did practical things to feed the widows and to help people that were struggling in life on a daily basis, where the people of the church served in that. I think the roots of it are intended to be expressed right throughout the life of it, is what I think. And I think we need to bring back some of that old school, old time kind of church. So for us, it means we just don't do services, we serve. We just don't do services. We serve our city. We serve our community. Many of you will know because I've told you, because I talk about almost nothing else besides this and Jesus. This is all I talk about. But this year we were successful in winning a grant for $590,000 to help train people that are unemployed with significant employment barriers to help them achieve a Certificate 1 in hospitality, in retail, and in business administration. We run all of those zones in our church. You see, the church has far more to offer than people imagine. So we have a business center that we operate from as a church, our offices and everything we do there. So we're going to have 6 people come and work as trainees, paid trainees by the state government for a 22-block period of time in our church offices this year. 3 of them start tomorrow. Another 3 will start in another 22 weeks' time. We've got 6 starting in hospitality, serving in our kitchen, in Fusion Cafe. We'll have another 6 in 22 weeks' time. Significantly challenged people in terms of they can't get employment. They haven't been able to get employment, and we're going to help them on that pathway. 6 will work in our retail shop. If you're not aware, we run a retail shop here that helps people in terms of affordable groceries, and we'll have 6 working in there and another 6 in 22 weeks' time. We will help place every one of them that wants a job. We'll help place them in a job so they get long-term employment. How many of you know that changes lives? That's like taking the fish, the loaves of fish and the sardines off a little boy on the side of a mountain and feeding 12,000 people. That's the people of God. That's the kingdom of God. That's the church using its wealth, its resource, its intuition, its creativeness to serve the community and help the community. And so we've been so blessed to receive that grant from Skilling Queenslanders for Work, and we start work tomorrow in terms of that. All of our staff, including me, are involved in that process of moving life forward for people. So if you come to our church during the week, you'll see a whole lot of strange faces that are now running around our teams and involved in staff. And there'll be some faces you won't expect to see, I guarantee it. Don't be shocked. Be happy. Turn to your neighbor and say, be happy. Because you know what it is? It's doing good. I call it messy church. That's what I call it. See, it's so easy to have tidy church, where I just work with tidy Christians and tidy believers, and pastors go and have lamingtons and cups of tea. And that's how I started ministry. That's how I started it. I'd go out and visit people, and like I'd go to someone's home and they'd bring out their best cake and, you know, tea or coffee. And I sort of figured if I kept doing this for 60 years, it was not going to be good for me to do that. But it was a nice little club. It's a nice little club. Now, don't get me wrong, it's nice to visit. I love to visit. I love to have the cup of tea and the lamington. But when I look at the life of Jesus, he actually spent more time with the people that he wanted to reach. Yes. Spent more time reaching people, helping people, healing people. And so it's a personal conviction that God has given to me that this is the way church should be led. And I got to tell you, we don't do it because it's the easy pathway. It's hard. It's challenging. It's demanding. It's extremely exhausting. But it is so rewarding for us as a church to be involved in this. We're here helping people move life forward. Our food co-op, led by Pastor Darrell, our community pastor, helps some 16,000 people a year in terms of affordable groceries. People that can't eat. I've told you story after story of people rummaging through our bins looking for food. I don't want them rummaging through the bins. I want them coming into the house of God and finding food in his house. That's the promise of God's word. So we give them food in terms of emergency food. We also supply food that people buy at about half cost of what it is to shop in Coles. And I think it's an amazing and a beautiful thing for a church to do, to help their city in this way. Every program and activity that we run as a church will be run with our community in mind. I've challenged every one of our church leaders in different areas and departments of church life that what they run in church needs to be able to put on the social media pages of the community pages, like Logan Community, Rochdale, all those different pages that are on Facebook. We need to be able to promote it out there in a language that makes sense to attract them to come to the church and be blessed and to be involved and to receive and to connect and to gather. And so all of our programs that are designed to do that this year. So for men's, courageous men's, when we get together for men's events, we're just connecting blokes. We're doing what blokes do. Blokes burn things, we eat things. That's all we do. We're very simple. We burn, we eat. And so we're going to do that in our gatherings and just connect and have real conversations. Mates getting together with mates. Our women, Women of Impact is our refreshed name for the women's ministry. So our men's ministry is led by Pastor Darrell, and our women's ministry is led by Pastor Marichelle, and refresh both of those areas. So Women of Impact, I think you had about 50 women here. Was it last weekend? Last weekend for the breakfast. They have a number of events that are community-minded based events for the year. They're looking and dreaming of ways, like the men are, of how we can attract grant funding to help us do so many good things within our city. We've refreshed our children's and our youth ministries. It's now called Next Gen. So if you see that and think, what's that? Well, that just covers the whole next generation of ministry. From the tiny tots right through to our youth are all involved under that umbrella. We've done up the kids' room. That's been done over the break period. Refreshed that. We've now gone youth fortnightly, because that's just so crazy busy for mums and dads nowadays, running their kids around to youth group and events and interests and sports that they have. So we've gone fortnightly. That seems to be working at this point in time. We want to do whatever we can with our method to make sure the message is delivered as well as it possibly can be. Mums and Bubs that meets on a Monday fortnightly, they're looking to freshen that up, do some stuff to attract people that just need a space of kind of a special moment for mums and bubs to come and connect and to learn, a sensory space, a sensory kind of room where they can come and hang out. So we're looking for some grant for that, and just to be able to do that as a church, which I think will be very exciting for our community. So everything we're doing to help us better reach people within our city. Our young adults are gathering in homes. They're doing all kinds of things. The pool party that's happening next Saturday. Just gathering with the purpose of pulling people together so that we can help people. So we are here to build our community. Church is a family to belong to. It's a place where you can have community and you can build community. And the community that you build is the community that you have. When you build it, you have a sense of owning it and of having it, because you're one of the ones that are developing it. One of the ways we do that is through our connect groups. The connect groups that we run, they also run fortnightly on a Tuesday night. That's where we get to do church in circles rather than rows. Today it's in rows. You're listening to me talk at a connect group. It's in circles. It involves coffee, a little bit of snacks, food, cake, because food is always good, and then conversations about God's word, conversations together, prayer together, connecting with people, a group of 6-10 people or so, either in the cafe, at a home, or whatever. If we don't have a connect group for you, we'll make one. If we don't have one, we'll do our very best to make one. I've started a new connect group that starts Tuesday week for people that couldn't make it to my other one that's on the other Tuesday. And so now it'll be going every week in the cafe here on a Tuesday night. If you'd like to be involved in the connect group, go to the Ask Me desk, put your name down, let them know. They'll get you hooked up in terms of that. And so we're also here to help people know God. Passionate about this. I want people to know God. I want people to know the Word of God. I want people to know the Holy Spirit. That's why we're doing the presence nights we've got planned this year. Just a few special nights, four of them over the year, where we're going to have a concentrated time of praise and worship and prayer together and just see what God will do. You see, Sundays are so structured by nature of the fact of what we do. But when we come to a presence night, it's a little bit more unstructured. And we're just giving God moments to minister to people. And I look forward so much to that. We're hosting four of those, one a term this year to start with. And then finally, we're here, not finally for my work sermon, but finally for this, Lord, we're here to help people discover purpose. I want people to know why they're on the planet. I want people to know that every one of us are gifted. We're all different parts of the body, and so I want us to find our place, and I want us to play our part. Now, here's the big news. We need you on board. We need you on board. We need our church on board. We need the guys on board for the courageous men thing and the man moments thing and what we're doing with guys. We need women of impact to be on board with that. All the girls jumping on board with that. I need families on board with what we're doing with next gen, young adults and youth and kids and children, whatever it is, mums and bubs. We really need people to say, if this is my church, then I'm on board. I'm on board with what God is doing and with what my church is doing. Now, if I can take you to a really important component that I want to talk about before I share some inspiring thoughts to finish today. Our focus areas of giving, just so that you know, because we don't want this to be a secret. We want to tell our church about how things are financially for the church, and that we know what our commitments are and where we're headed in terms of this. You know, there's an old parable that is around about the thought about people planting seeds for trees they'll never sit under, and that wise people do that for their community. They plant seeds for trees they'll never actually get to sit under. And it's true also of church life. For many of us, we invest in church for revivals we'll never see maybe, or for a building we'll never see maybe, for a future church that we may not be a part of. And the truth is, we should always be investors in terms of our generosity and obeying God in having a plan to be financially responsible and financially involved contributing to the life of church. So our focus areas of giving this year are for our tithes, our general giving of church life. We've set it at a conservative level once again for this year because we understand economically things are obviously fairly tight. $7,500 is what we believe for every week in terms of our giving. That means it takes families like mine, like ours, to stand up and say, we're going to commit ourselves to give our tithe every week. We're going to commit to do that. We're going to be responsible in that. We're not going to be tippers. We're going to be consistent in the way that we give. And that's a thought for every one of us as followers of Jesus. Secondly, every year we do a vision offering. This is no surprise if you've been part of our church. We do it every year. October 23 this year, we're believing for $130,000, which is our mark. We've believed for that for the last number of years. We've come either very close or over that for the last number of years. Of that $130,000, we take $100,000 and we put that directly off our mortgage as a church, which is the good news. That's coming down all the time. So to reach $130,000, that's as simple as 100 people giving $25 a week. It's not big figures. 100 people giving $25 a week, and we achieved that. We call that it's our first fruits offering, our legacy offering based on the Old Testament offering of first fruits. Here's another one that's new that we've also refreshed, which I'm going to speak to you about in a moment. Our global missions vision as a church, we've refreshed that, and we want to raise $25,000 for that this year. That's 50 people giving $10 a week. Once again, it's not big amounts of money, but it's raising a significant amount of money to begin our global missions vision again as a church. And so we have refreshed our missions vision for this year, and we've done that because we in the past, what we did a number of years ago, we decided to focus on our local vision for mission, and we needed to just put our global vision down for a little bit so we could build our local charity, everything we're doing to feed people, the training courses that we're doing, helping our community. And we loved that when we introduced that as a church. We all applauded that. We've got that well established now. That's the good news. That's functioning well now and has a certain momentum of its own, Impact Care Services. We're in a season now where we need to go global again. So we have local and global. We're not laying the local down. We've got it built. Now we're going global once again. And so we sat this week and we were going through some planning, looking at where we're going to be involved in a global mission effort. And it's like a light bulb moment went off with the thought refresh, and we thought we just need to refresh and go back to what we used to support. That's what we need to do. So we got straight on the phone We rang Russ and Jenny Barton from Operation Uganda. They just returned from Uganda. We told them that God had spoken to us very clearly about refreshing our relationship with them. They have an amazing orphanage center that Cheryl and I and Daryl and numbers of others have been to over in Uganda, helping the community in such amazing ways. They are amazing missionaries. We're onboarding with them again. So for 2 minutes, Russell's going to speak to us right now. Look to the big screen and hear from him.
Good day, church.
We're so excited to have you guys on as a ministry partner for the work that we're doing here in Operation Uganda.
Hey, church, we've had some exciting things happening recently here in Uganda. Come and check them out.
Hello, my name is Pamela. I oversee a bunch of great work that Operation Uganda does. Behind me here is our nursery and primary school that has an enrollment of 1,300 students. We are seeing this very community and many, many other communities impacted and transformed. Thank you very much.
Hello, guys. My name is Douglas, and our team at Operation Uganda, we run the values education class, which is Scripture Union, and we teach every week over 1,400 students, as you can see in the background. So we teach them about God, the principles of God, and then they learn the Bible.
Hello, my name is Percy. I head up our school program, both at high school and primary school. I'm here with girls and boys. We've been running our Shine and Strength program, impacting thousands of young people with the gospel.
Good day, guys. I'm Ivan, the pastor of our church here in Kampala. God is really moving and transforming lives, and we are seeing lots of people coming to Jesus. In fact, we need a bigger church. Hey, Russ, what are you guys doing?
You said you wanted a bigger church, Ivan. Let's build you one. We've just started phase one of our new multi-purpose facility here in Kampala, which will be a church and a youth center with a basketball court inside and a bunch of exciting programs during the week. You know, 76% of Uganda's population is under the age of 25, and we're all about transforming this nation. It's a pleasure. Aussie, Aussie, Aussie!
That's a good idea. Russ and Jen are just beautiful people, and they, of course, were part of our church for a number
g'day,
of years.
Church.
And g'day, Russ. And just settle down, will you? And we're so excited to be back on board. When we made that FaceTime phone call, Russ had tears in his eyes. He had tears in his eyes that we were reconnecting with them again. I want you to hear now from Margaret Pashley. Margaret used to be our youth pastor when we were kids. A beautiful lady has established a significant ministry is it Samar Laity Tacloban, in the province of Tacloban in the Philippines. And I know a number of people still involved with Margaret. Well, we're getting formally involved with her and her ministry once again. Here's Margaret. Enjoy this.
Hello, Impact Church. This is Margaret Pashley with the Center for Change family here in the Philippines. And it's so nice to greet you on your Vision Sunday, refreshing your mission vision. We want to let you know we are continuing on and we love to be involved with you.
By way of refreshing your vision, we continue with our alternative family care while seeking to restore children to families wherever possible. In 2022, we were able to reunite 34 children and youth to their families. We are thankful that we have our own primary school from kinder to grade 6, and then our students proceed to the local high school and some go on to college. One of our victories is having 6 of our former youth as part of our staff. God has blessed us with beautiful facilities and a capable staff so that our children in care feel safe and loved. We continue our individual child sponsorship program for the pioneer pastor's children and other needy children in the community at a cost of $40 per month. As part of a community, we do our best to reach out in evangelism, sharing values in schools, to the police force, our local jail, as well as meetings with drug surrenderees And of course, we respond in time of calamity. We have just completed 34 semi-concrete homes and 22 toilet facilities with septic tanks and are presently helping to rebuild a church that was destroyed in a typhoon.
God bless you, Impact Church!
So good, so good. We love Margaret. Margaret is just one of the most amazing human beings you'd ever hope to meet. And so we've refreshed that missions vision. We're going to raise $25,000 this year. And once again, what we need in terms of that is that's as simple as 50 people giving $10 a week. It's as simple as that, and to take on, once again, these aspects of global missions vision. We'll also provide you the opportunity to travel and go and see it, should you want to go and see it, and help and be involved in some of the ministry aspects of what they're doing. I've almost finished, so not too far away, but we've also refreshed our missions vision, not our missions vision, our values as a church. Our old values was four simple words beginning with B: belong, believe, become, and build. We're not losing those words, we're just pushing them back a layer. They'll still be around the verbiage of what we do as a church and our language, but we've refreshed our values, and we made our new values these: to love God, love church, love people, love life, and love purpose. We want to very intentionally love these things and put a priority on these things, because we see that God puts priority on these things. To love Him, to love His church, not just our church, His church. How many of you know His church is much broader than our church? Yeah. It comes in all shapes and colors and sizes and streams and denominations and associations. Doesn't matter how it comes. We just love the church. And we love people. We love life. We love the life that God has given us. We love life. We're going to live it. And we also love the purpose that God has given us. So to help with these statements is some extra thought here. To love God: we love and honor God above all else, with all we are, all we have, and in all we do. It's like a vow. It's like a vow. God, we love you and we honor you above all else, with all we are, all we have, and all we do. We love church. We love our church. We believe in the gathering of the church, which is what we're doing now, and we gather to build, and we believe to expand. We love the house of God. We love people, because at the end of the day, people are the church. We love you, listen to this, for who you are. We love you for who you are. We include, inspire, and invest in you because you matter. You matter. We want every human that comes to our church, I don't know what the others are, we want every human that comes to our church to know they matter and they are loved just as they are. Just as they are. We love life. We embrace the God-shaped life with energy, enthusiasm, and excitement. And we love life and embrace all the opportunities that God gives us in life. We love purpose. We celebrate the unique gifts and calling that's on each of us. And we use our gifts to serve God's plan and purpose. And we champion people's dreams, and we cheer on their journey. Do you like that? I love that. I love that whole thought of refreshing our values, our mission, our vision, our global missions vision also. And I personally feel refreshed by the fact that our team have refreshed those statements. Let me close today by speaking about greater for just a few minutes. Greater. It's our theme for the year. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. The preceding part of that verse says, you, dear children, are from God, and you've overcome them. Everyone say them. Because greater, say them like you believe in that, them, say them. Them. You've overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. This verse was written by the Apostle John at a time when the church was under attack. It was under the attack of voices, new truths that were being introduced by teachers around church world that were mixing and meddling with the Word of God and changing it and bringing in new thoughts about what it was to be a believer, what it was to be saved. And they added to the work that Jesus had done. They were voices that questioned the truth, voices that questioned the Word of God, voices that questioned God Himself, and they were voices that led people astray. You know, our world today is full of voices. There are a lot of voices trying to pull people away from their roots. Our young adults in university are confronted with these voices all the time that introduce new truth to them and challenge their truth about God, their relationship with God. And often they get pulled away because of these new truth, these new voices that are around the world. Our world is full of voices. Not every voice you hear is a voice you should follow. Not every voice you hear is the voice you should follow. Jesus said, "My sheep, my children, they know my voice. They hear my voice and they follow my voice." The voice of a stranger, they will not follow. They won't follow the voice of a stranger because it's strange. You know, the voice of your friends is, you know it. Like, if you're my friend and you ring me, I don't have to ask you your name unless I'm having a senior moment. I don't have to ask you your name. I know who you are because you're my friend. I know when Pastor Daryl rings me, I don't have to say, "Who's speaking, please?" Like formally. I know it's Dazza. I know it's him because I know his voice. I know the uniqueness of his voice and I hear him. And Jesus is saying, "Know the uniqueness of my voice. It's different from any other voice. There's a lot of other voices that are speaking that you shouldn't be following. Make sure you follow the voice, his voice, my voice," is what Jesus is saying. I think our world today is very confused. And it's getting very confusing because of all the different voices, all the influences, all those that are trying to lead us. And it seems to me like the rules of life are being modified all the time. They're being changed all the time. And the truth around God's word to us as a community is being watered down. It's being deconstructed. It's being dematerialized before our eyes. And our new generations particularly are really confronted with this on a regular basis. And our parents are overwhelmed. I speak to them. Our parents are overwhelmed with how to lead their young ones in this moment, in this space, because of the power that all these voices have. I want to encourage you today in terms of this, that the Apostle John wrote to the church and said, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And you've already overcome them. Before you have the victory, you have the victory. Don't worry about them, is what John's saying, because you have someone greater. You have something greater that lives in you and that abides in you and that is going to make you an overcomer. This is the truth we want our church to understand this year, that God in you is greater. God in you is greater. The greatness of God lives in you. I want people to know not only the goodness of God, but the greatness of God, the awe of God, the wonder of God, the wonder working power of God. To understand the greater one lives in you. He's around you. He's before you. He's behind you. He surrounds you. He's with you. The greatness of God is on you. So don't worry about all the other voices. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What I love about God is infinite. In other words, he has no beginning, he has no end. There's nothing that he cannot do. There's nothing that he cannot be. That's why when he introduced himself in the Old Testament to Moses, when Moses said, "Who will I tell Pharaoh has sent me?" He said, "Just say, I am." I mean, what a great name. Notice he didn't say Thomas or Peter or Bruce or Kevin. He didn't pick a name that would localize him, legitimize him in a context of a certain label. He said, "Just say, I am has sent you." In other words, I am whatever my people need them to be. I don't know what you need God to be today, but I can tell you this, God is greater in you than any circumstance you face, any sickness you have, any disease you're confronted by, any moment, any season, no matter what it is, through a season of loneliness, brokenness, separation, reconstruction, deconstruction, whatever the thought is, God is with you, and greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. He's not limited by anything. He's not limited by anyone. Time does not limit Him. Resource does not limit him. He is the unlimited God. Paul says in Ephesians 3, from His unlimited resources, God will give you mighty inner strength through His Holy Spirit. If you come to me for help, I can give you limited help, but God can give you unlimited help. God can give you unlimited help in terms of the unlimited resources that He has. Why am I telling you this at the start of this series? Because I want us to understand the landscape of our life. The horizons that we see of our life are a reflection of who we believe God is. The way we frame God, it frames our world. It frames the way we walk in this world. It frames the way we believe for things in this world. Who we believe God to be determines what we believe God will do. And I believe God is good. And I believe God is great, and I believe everywhere God goes, He helps and heals people. That's what I believe. I believe the best is yet to come. Anyone else believe that? I believe that. I believe the best is yet to come. I don't live in fear of what these end days will be like or be about, because I believe this good God and this great God is in you, He's in me, and greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. I believe God has got great things planned for you. And for us, I believe that. John 14, Jesus said this to His disciples. He said, I pray that you'll understand the incredible greatness of His power for us who believe. And then Jesus said in John 14, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same things, the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with my Father. Jesus here is addressing His disciples about the finishing of His mission and returning to heaven. And He says, I'm going to send another. So don't worry. Don't think I'm going to leave you like orphans. I'm going to send another. He's called the Holy Spirit. He uses the Greek word allos, he says, which means another of the same kind, substance, and nature of me. So I'm going, but another just like me is coming. He will teach you. He will guide you. He will remind you. He will empower you. He will fill you with His presence. And He says, and greater things than I've done, you will do. It doesn't mean you're actually, like Jesus did some pretty great and amazing things when you think of it, everything that He did. It doesn't mean you'll do greater in terms of the actual thing. What Jesus is literally saying is, the best is yet to come. It only gets better from here, is what Jesus is saying. It's been good while I've been with you, but now you're going to go and do what I do. And how many of you know 100 people doing the same thing that one person does is a whole lot better? It's a whole lot better. I don't know whether you've ever tried to do something by yourself, and maybe that's how you operate, but it's so much easier to have team. It's so much more efficient and effective and productive to have others that are committed to the project, the plan, the task, and the vision. And that's what Jesus is saying. The Holy Spirit's going to come. Literally, like the Apostle John, he's saying, the greater one is going to come and live in you. He's going to be with you, and He's going to be for you. So, church, greatness is not out there somewhere as something to be attained. Greater and greatness is actually inside of you, inside of me. Inside of us. Greater is actually your right now. It's your birthright as a believer and a follower of Jesus Christ. It's the Holy Spirit within us. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. What I simply want over this next few weeks particularly is we'd open up our hearts and our minds to the thought that the greater one lives in me. The greater one lives in me. The greater one. Muhammad Ali thought he was the greatest in the world. And he proudly talked about that. And he was great, but he wasn't the greatest. There's a greater one in you. There's a greater one in you. There's a greater one in you. There's a greater one in every one of us. Would you stand to your feet, please? Greater than all the labels that people have labeled you with. Greater than your past. Greater than your season. Greater than your sin. Greater than your frustration. greater than your anxiety, greater than your worry, greater than your missed opportunities, greater than the hell and the trials that you may even be going through today, greater than your regrets, there's a greater one that lives in you. And this year, we want to focus on the thought that that greater one is in us to help us overcome the world. Let me pray for you, and then we're going to sing together, "How Great Is Our God." Father, we thank you today for the greatness of God, not just the goodness of God. We're reminded over and over again how good you are to us, and we're so grateful and thankful for that. But we want to focus very much on your greatness, God, that lives and abides in every single one of us. And it's important for us to know, because often we struggle, often we have challenge and difficulty in understanding and applying your word and your ways, but that doesn't discount us or disappoint us in terms of what you've appointed us to be and what you've appointed us to do. There are a lot of great people in this room today, because there's a greater voice, there's a greater authority, there's a greater spirit. There's you, God, inside of every one of them today. Help us to live with an understanding and awareness that we are anointed and we are set apart to do good, to help and to heal people wherever we go, in Jesus' name. Bless our year as a church is what we pray. Father, as we navigate this year, we believe for greater corporately and individually, in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, church, lift your voice. Let's sing.
our God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for being with us today. Thank you to our online community today. God bless you. Have an amazing week. Hospitality time's open right now. We've got free hospitality today. Coffee and tea. You need to buy that, but everything else is absolutely free today. Why don't you enjoy some time together out in Fusion Cafe? God bless you. Have an amazing week. Thank you.